Now it's working. Alright.
Where's he coming from this side of the view option?
See that? It played? Alright, good. Alright, welcome to Monoxy Church. This is my second online sermon. Two for two. And today we're going to do another installment of Series of Miracles. And we've already done the water to the wine, the restoring sight, Christmas miracles, healing the deaf. Now we're going to do another miracle provision, feeding the 5,000. And is my voice too high, too low, or okay? We're okay? Good, thank you. All right. So I want to start by saying this is the first and only miracle that's recorded in all four Gospels. I think that's pretty amazing. It's the only one that you can find in all four Gospels. And I'm going to try to read it, and I'm going to try to share what I did. I made a composite of all four stories. So it's Mark 6, 30 to 44, Matthew 14, 13 to 21, Luke 9, 10 to 17, and John 6, 1 to 15. And I know this is dangerous, but I made a composite of all the four of the Gospels. I left all the things in. I'll give everybody a copy of it if they want it. But I added no words, so it's all Gospel stuff, and I'm going to read through it one step at a time here. So hang on, let me get this thing shared.
All right, do everybody see the text? All right, so I'm going to go ahead and read this. So the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Then he took them with him in a boat to a solitary place, and they withdrew by themselves to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of him. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he had already had in mind what he was going to do. By this time, it was late in the day, so the disciple came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Philip answered him, it would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Bring them here to me, he said. Then Jesus directed them to have all people sit in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people as much as they wanted. And he also divided the two fish among them all. When they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the five barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they had intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So everybody got that? That worked? Okay, good. We're trying everything one step at a time here. All right, so basically, I want to give a little context to that parable. And the context was Jesus had just sent out the 12 disciples to preach and heal throughout Israel. He sent them out two by two to go to the lost sheep of Israel and to preach the message that the kingdom of heaven is near. All right, and they were all given power and authority to drive out demons, cure diseases, heal the sick, and to preach the kingdom of God. And they were to take nothing for the journey except a staff, sandals, but no extra tunic, no bread, no bag, no money. And two things. Number one, it's interesting because Luke 9 says they're not to take a staff. But anyway, we're not going to get hung up on that. But they don't take much of anything. No provisions to, except they're going to rely on the folks wherever they go. And if the people don't welcome you, they're going to shake the dust off your feet. And that's an interesting, I always thought it was shake the dust off your sandals, but actually it's not the sandals. It's shake the dust off your feet. So that's just a little fun fact there. And then they came back and they regrouped. And that's where we are right about now. The only other thing to give context is John the Baptist had just been beheaded. And that's in Matthew 14, 6 to 12 and Mark 6 to 14 to 29. And on Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced so well and she pleased the King Herod that he offered to give her up to half of his kingdom. And she asked her mother what she should do. And she said, hey, she wanted the head of John the Baptist on a platter. So he gave her the head right then. And so that John the Baptist was dead. Now, he was sent to prepare the way. But now we're seeing the disciples are getting set up to either establish the way or start to pave the way themselves. All right. So we have a progression from John the Baptist being beheaded. And he was one to prepare the way, to the disciples getting ready to establish their own way, and Jesus getting them in line to do that. So I'm going to start with the first paragraph I showed and talked about. It talked about Bethsaida. Bethsaida is a small town in the northeast of the Sea of Galilee, and it's on the apex. It's a fishing village, probably about 100 and so people in the village, all right? And there are two other towns nearby. One is Capernaum, and that would have been 2 to 6 miles away, or would have been about a 1 or 2 hour walk to get there, all right? And that's on the northwest shore. And the other is Chorazin, which is about 2.5 miles north, northwest, inland. And that would have been one of the three cities that all of these three cities formed. They're called the Evangelical Triangle because of what a lot of Jesus did all took place in that triangle, those three cities. But again, you also had then they mentioned a large crowd and like sheep without a shepherd. So the high idea of sheep and shepherd comes from, again, that's an old Testament saying that's being lived out in Jesus' time. Psalm 23:1, everybody knows, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or Isaiah 40:11, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And John 10:14, where he declares, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Right? And then the idea of this being a large crowd, I think always that's fascinating. Why would a large crowd come to such a remote place? All right, you have 5,000 men, and that doesn't include women and children. So probably there was 15 to 20,000 people altogether, you know, in this small town of 100. Now, to give some kind of context to that, let's see, the Rocky Ridge Carnival has about 1,000 people that comes to that. Imagine 10 to 15 times that number all in one place. People who wandered up from Frederick or Thurmont or Pennsylvania all around and just came to hear somebody that they don't even know would be there. You know, that's quite an amazing thing when you think of it. Or even Camden Yards can hold 46,000 people. So that'd be about a half to a third of the stadium filled, that many people in one place just to just get a chance to visit Jesus. All right. And then so imagine, yeah, all those people coming, walking 2 to 3 hours, not having food or sustenance and just coming just to hear what Jesus, hoping to hear or see what Jesus would have to say or do. And then there's a comment, it's already very late, send the people away. And that shows really basically some concerns for the people's physical needs. Like I said, they'd have two more hours to get back to town, need to sleep, it's getting late. And so visibility was starting to get impaired. So again, at that time, the roadways would not, they wouldn't have been paved, it'd be unpaved, they'd be treacherous, or it could be rocky or steep, or they could fall, stumble, injury, they got hurt, you know, that would be difficult. As we know from the parable of the Good Samaritan, you know, also they were covered with thieves and kidnapping and robbings and all that stuff. So they didn't want them to go back at night. And then the wild animals were more active at night. They had wolves, leopards, and all those kind of things that could have taken anybody out. So I'm very concerned about what the people are going to do. And then also just the metaphorical equivalent of walking in darkness is being walking without the Lord and all that. I think that's another kind of parallel. All right, so in the next, in Mark 6:37, he says, you give them something to eat. You know, and I think that's a fascinating line. You give them something to eat. It wasn't like, hey, watch me give them something to eat. You're going to give them something to eat. So this is where Jesus started to integrate the disciples into taking over his role in terms of dealing with the masses. So he explained to the disciples, he prepped them to begin to understand their role in meeting the spiritual needs of the people. And again, and so they were going to be a part of this as well. So he, and they first started with the disbelief, and they came up with the excuses that it would take more than a half a year's wages to do it, or that, you know, they can't go and spend that much on bread, or they wouldn't have enough. And what does Jesus say? Jesus basically says, bring them here to me. You know, bring me whatever you have. Bring those five fish five barley loaves and two small fish. Bring them here to me. And then again, that's reminiscent of Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I mean, everything's bring it to Jesus. Bring it back to him. All right. So moving ahead, we get to the point where he looks up to heaven, he gives thanks, and he broke the loaves. So first, he's looking up to heaven. And why is he doing that? Well, that's where his father is. And he wants to give thanks and grace to his father and recognize him as being the source of what's going to happen. And he didn't have a card up his sleeve. He didn't have a rabbit he pulled out of his hat. I mean, this was just look up to heaven, and he said it, and it happened. All right, so then he gave thanks. And I think we're often always very much to give thanks. You know, not to take anything for granted, but be thankful for what we're given. And Psalm 107:1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." And then he broke the bread. And again, that's reminiscent of John 6:35, where Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry." I think that was symbolic. All right. And then, and also foreshadow communion with breaking the bread to feed everyone. And then I think they had the fish, and the fish reminds me about, go, takes him back to early when that he was recruiting the disciples, Matthew 4:19. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." So now they're really in the fishing business here. So anyway, they gave them all as much as they wanted. All right, so there's 5,000 people or 15,000 people got as much as they wanted. And again, just to say that it wasn't just, our God is a God of provision. It wasn't just a little, it was enough. All right, as much as they wanted, as much as they needed. And I got, that's the name Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh is the God of the God who provides. And the, you know, again, and more than they needed, as much as they wanted, they all got. And then after it was done, they said, "Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets, all right? And the 12 baskets, obviously, I told you I'm a numbers guy. It represents the 12 disciples and also 12 tribes of Israel. So I think that was very meaningful. And each one would have had a full basket to take back with them wherever they went. And they probably ate for the next week. So every time they would eat from the basket, they'd be thinking about the miracle, be just ingraining it in their systems. And also they could share it with any community, any people that they had along the way. So the miracle wasn't just that moment. It went on and on for a while. All right. So I think of any other biblical themes that this relates to, you know, God providing food for the masses. And back in the Old Testament, in 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 42 to 44, there was a famine. And the prophet Elisha, E-L-I-S-H-A, not Elijah, Elisha, had a man bring him 20 loaves of bread to feed 100 people. And they ate and had plenty left over. So that's back in 2 Kings. This wasn't a new idea. They had the idea of God providing for the people. And equally so, the whole Exodus 16 and the manna story, where God provided daily food for all the Israelites who were grumbling because they didn't have enough to eat. And they had enough to have every day of what they needed. And he provided them that. And some Israelites, they tried to take too much and save for the next day. And that food got maggots and started to smell. And the other thing they said is, okay, you don't work on the Sabbath, so they don't want you gathering any food on the Sabbath. So they gave the folks a double portion on the sixth day, and they were supposed to take two portions on the sixth day and save nothing and do nothing on the Sabbath. And again, the Israelites were quite unruly and grumbled, and they even tried gathering food on the Sabbath, but there wasn't any to be gathered. So they would go back, and they learned the lesson the hard way. All right, there's another story in the New Testament on feeding 4,000, all right? So Mark 8 and Matthew 15, where they fed 4,000. And what's the difference other than there's just 1,000? And that was also men only, so it could have been about 8,000, who knows, eight or 10, 12,000 folks there. That was done in a more of a Gentile area, where at least the Bethsaida was probably some Christians, probably a mix of Christians and Gentiles. This would be more like an exclusive Gentile region. And then again, they had 7 loaves and a couple fish, and yet they filled up 7 baskets when they were done. I think, again, that's 7, like I said, it just is a number of completion or perfection from that point of view. And the last one, I think, may be a somewhat related theme, is just when Peter gets reinstated at the end of John. When Peter gets reinstated, it's... Jesus, you know, says, "Do you love me?" And he says, you know, "Feed my lambs." And then, you know, he says, "Do you love me?" And he says, "Take care of my sheep. And do you love me? Feed my sheep." So feeding his lambs, feeding his sheep, taking care of his sheep through offering the word. And I think are interesting parallels. And this is more than just the physical food. It's also spiritually feeding them. All right. So I guess part of the thing is to make this a lesson lasted for you all is, how have you seen this play out in your own life? Like, in what ways have you ever seen God provide for you? I can tell you on the mission field, I've seen a couple things where, number one, there was one time where we had a lot of people, and we did medical missions, so we had a limited amount of medications, and I can't prove it, But it really felt like one time we had many more people than we had medicines, but the medicines, we had enough to solve it, to take care of everyone. And I wonder if there wasn't some provision or splitting of it that just made it happen just the way we did, because we were doing God's work. And also, when you think about the people coming to the remote area, I can relate a time where we were one time in the Amazon on this river, and I remember this one fella had another person on his shoulders walking across the river just to get him to our camp. And I thought, wow, I mean, just how people want to seek out God and seek out the people who are doing God's work, how powerful that is and what a driver that can be. And when you think of the people that were there, the 5,000, some were lame or crippled, and they weren't all healthy, so what could have been a two-hour walk could have been a half-a-day walk for them. So again, all along those lines, it's very, very powerful. And then I also know of another fella who had immigrated from to Spain from a northern African country, and when he was there, he had nothing, but he went to this place, and every day he found €5 there for several months until he had gotten settled and gotten a job and everything. So that's, I mean, just... I don't know if you've seen provision in your life, but God is a great provider. He takes care of you. Yeah. And then we all have a lack of faith at times. Like, how can we do this? And we think, how are you going to make it through? I mean, whether it's an illness, a divorce, a family situation, a financial situation, you know, how am I going to get through this? And again, all you need to know is to trust Jesus, because God will make a way when there seems to be no way. That was the opening song, and I very much believe that God will make a way when there doesn't seem to be anywhere else. And if we're faithful, so is He. All right. Third thing is, do we want just the good stuff, or are we willing to go deeper? So do we want Jesus just to be our King so He can meet our needs and stay comfortable and continue to do things the way we are? Or are we disciples of Christ who want to endure hardship or persecution or sacrifice to try to serve Him? All right. So what is it? What could you do? What could you change? How could you go a little deeper with Him? And in what ways have you gotten too comfortable? Is there anything you can think of? Somebody you could talk to, somebody you could reach out to, somebody you could make a change in their life. So take hold of that and try to run with that one. Try to think if there's something you could do to make provision for anybody else who you're around. Because we're all disciples of Jesus. We're all. And given the same charge as the 12 main disciples to go out and spread the word. And we all need spiritual food. So do we labor for the bread that leads to eternal life, or just temporary solutions that get us through the day? All right. So what are we looking for? We need that spiritual food. And then how do we feed on God's word in the Bible? Do we feed enough on it? Do we read the word? Do we deal with others? Do we go to Sunday school? Do we go to any kind of small groups? Are we engaged in things that keep us fed with God's truths? And finally, God can and will provide our every need if we're faithful. Right? Just as He multiplied the bread and fish, He's able to take our talents or small offerings and multiply the impact to reach out to many, many other folks. I think that's an important piece too. Now, I'm going to close with a song that's called Multiply Your Love. The lyrics will not show up on this. I'm going to read some of them. Because I like this as an idea of God who provides can multiply things many fold. So it goes, multiply your love through us to the lost and the least. Let us be your healing hands, your instruments of peace. May our single purpose be to imitate your life. Through our simple words and deeds, let love be multiplied. The next thing is, multiply your love through me to someone in need. Help me, Lord, to freely give this grace that I've received. Let my single purpose be to imitate your life. Through my simple words and deeds, let love be multiplied. And the last one is, multiply your church through us to the ends of the earth. Where there's only barrenness, let us see new birth. Use us as your laborers, working side by side. Let us see your harvest come. Let love be multiplied. I think that's a beautiful way to think of it. I mean, we all have something, and if we just multiply it and spread God's love, we all accomplish His purpose and His will for us. So I'm going to try this, and hopefully it'll work. We're going to take it to the next song here. And like I said, there is not going to be any word. And I can maybe put, I don't know if I can put the word up on the screen. No, I can't. I'll have to learn one time how to put the words on the screen and while I play the video. But right now I only know one thing at a time. So let's do that. Let's see. Oops, we didn't do that either. Oh, I gotta go back. All right, here we go. This should make it.
Multiply your love through us, to the lost and the least. Let us be your healing hands, your instruments of peace. May our single purpose be to imitate your life through our simple words and deeds. Let love be multiply your love through me to someone in need. Help me, Lord, to breathe. This grace that I've received, let my single purpose be to imitate your life through my simple words and deeds. Let love be multiplied. Your kingdom.
let's see, we've got about 5 minutes. We'll have to see how much time we have here. Between 4 or 5 minutes, Pat, it looks like.
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Yeah. If we can't get any prayer requests, well, I'm willing to try that. Let's try some prayer requests. Anybody have any prayer requests? Any needs or...
Can you unmute this?
It is.
Okay.
Any prayer requests from anyone? Any joys, concerns?
Richard, I just wanted to share...
go ahead.
There's a place over there where it celebrates where the miracle took place. And this is the logo or the symbol that's on the floor there. The church is built there at Tagatha. And this is a symbol of the miracle that took place. So this is a plate that I brought back from Israel. But you can see the image there. This is on the floor in the church there near where the miracle took place.
Yeah, very nice. Along those lines, so that's where the church decided was. They actually think it probably was more towards Bethsaida, but yeah, that's the traditional site is with Tagba. How is it called, Tagba?
Yes, something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, I love the tower work. It was all, and it's all great. I mean, the whole idea of fish for you know, representing Christians and all that. And there's some talk that that folks used to come up. When they're afraid to be Christian, they draw a line, a half line up. Let me see, if like that, and then somebody else would take the other line and make a fish out of it. Then they knew it was a fellow Christian. So that was like I've heard that to be true. That was kind of a silent language that they could communicate with each other during times of persecution. So the fish is a very prominent Christian symbol, and as is the bread. So that's great. All right. So let's see. Do we hang on a couple more minutes or? Tracy, you want to just pray for us? Why don't you just pray us out on this one, okay?
Okay. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for this day, the Lord's Day. And even in the midst of bad weather, we can still get together and share through technology. And so I thank you for Brother Richard here and sharing today. And we give you praise and thanks for the many ways that you move and provide in our lives. And so God, help us to be a conduit to help others in need and to share your love. And so pray your blessing upon the church this week, Lord. Pray that you would just watch over each family represented in our congregation. And we ask, Lord, that you would move mightily, that your will would be done. And so, God, just thank you for today. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
And Maxine, you're going to put this on the web, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm good.
Okay, good.
I just want to make a mention. Our Lady Saint bake sale, we netted $521. We sold out of everything.
Oh. Wow. Wow. Very good. Excellent. Wonderful. That's wonderful.
Thanks to Wanda. She was pushing at the end.
She's multiplying the love. Anyway. All right. We'll see you then.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.